This chazor zechin eshu bachik hasa shuagim b'mihudim zechin b'malchus daf chav ches. The Mishnah, zok the next Mishnah. Seven branches of the menorah are essential to each other. Seven lamps of the menorah are essential to each other. The two parashiyos of mezuzah are essential to each other. Even the proper writing of one letter is essential. The four parashiyos of the tefillin are essential to each other. Even the proper writing of one letter is essential. The four tzitzis are essential to each other because all four of them make up one mitzvah. Rishmol says the four of them are four separate mitzvahs. Zok the gemara, the seven branches are essential because the pasuk uses the term havaya. A braisa says the menorah has to be made of one block of material and it would be made of gold. If it was made of pieces of gold, it's pasul. If it was made of another metal, it's kosher. Even if made of pieces of this other metal rather than one block, it'll still be kosher. In fact, the requirement that it may be made from one block is essential because the pasuk says miksha and havaya. In that same way, the pasuk says zohav and havaya. So why is the requirement that it be of gold any less essential? And for the Gemara, the word teoset teaches that it may be made of other metals as well. In fact, maybe instead say that teoset teaches that it can be made of pieces of gold. Gemara says that can't be because the word havaya is written regarding mixture requirement. In fact, the word teoset is also written regarding the mixture requirement. And furthermore, the word mixture is written twice, which teaches that it's essential. Furthermore, the word zav is also written twice, so it should also be essential. And furthermore, the word zav is written twice, and the word mixture is written twice. If we say that the requirement that the menorah be made of a single block is essential, but that the requirement that it be made of gold is not essential, we can understand the repetition of these words, as they be used for drushes, like we'll see soon. However, if we say that the menorah can be made of pieces of metal, and that it must be made of gold, we would have no drushes for all these words. These drushes are explained in a braisa. The braisa says, the pasuk says, kikar zov tar, which teaches that the requirement that the piece weigh a kikar, that's only if the menorah is being made of gold. Another pasuk says it be made of zov tar, and goes on to require that the cups, buttons, and flowers be designed into it. This teaches that these designs are only required if the menorah is made of gold. The Gemara says, although the same pasuk also says that it should be made of seven branches, we can't say that it's only made of gold. Only if it's made of gold is it required that it be made of seven branches, because without branches, it's a candlestick, it's not a menorah. Finally, the pasuk says, "Vizeh masi amenorah mikshas of," which teaches that if it's made of gold, it has to be made of one block. But if it's made of another metal, it can be made of separate pieces. In fact, what does the last mikshah come to teach? And the Gemara comes to exclude the trumpets of Moshe that the Braisa says were made of one block of silver, and the Braisa says if they are made of pieces of silver, it would be kosher. But if it's made of another metal, it would be pasul. The Gemara explains, we learn from the mikshah he written regarding the menorah that the requirement that the trumpets be made of one block is not essential. The pasuk teaches that this requirement is only essential for menorah, not for the trumpets. Abraisa says all the kingdom that Moshe made were kosher for his generation and for all future generations, except for the trumpets, which were only kosher for his generation. Remember, why were the trumpets not valid for future generations? It can't be because the pasuk says "Asay lecha" for you and not future generations, because the aron then should also not be kosher for future generations, because the pasuk says "V'yasisa lecha" regarding the aron. And for tomorrow, regarding the trumpets, the pasuk says "lecha" twice. That's why it's not kosher for future generations. Zakhtamar Vaitar Papara, the son of Rav Chanan, taught a braisa in front of Rav Yosef that said as follows. The menorah was made of a single block of gold. If it was made of silver, it would still be kosher. If it was made of tin, lead, or gisteroin, Rabbi said it would be possible. Rav Yosef, son of Rabbi Yehuda, said it would be kosher. If it was made of wood, of bone, or of glass, everyone would agree to be possible. Rav Yosef asked, how do you explain the sheetahs of the braisa? Rav Papa said, all views darshan klal uprata klal, but Rav Yosef darshan is to teach that it has to be made of metal, which is why even tin and others are valid. Rabbi darshan is that it has to be a prestigious material. That's what he learns from klal uprata klal, which is why tin and other metals would be puzzle. Rabbi Yosef says, erase your version of the braisa from my version, which says as follows. If a kli sharis is made of wood, Rabbi says it's puzzle. Rabbi Yosef, son of Rabbi Yehuda, says kosher. Machalikas is, Rabbi dashens the psukim of menorah as a klal prata klal, and therefore dashens include anything made of metal. Rabbi Yosef dashens the psukim as a ribui miyot v'ribui, and therefore dashens include everything except earthenware. Rabbi Papa asked, maybe my version is correct and not yours. Rabbi Yosef said, two other braises clearly say that Rabbi Yosef, son of Rabbi Yehuda, holds the menorah made of wood is kosher. Therefore, it must be that my version of the braisa is correct. Zakhtamar Vaita, Shmuel said in the name of an elder, the height of the menorah was 18 tefachim. The legs and the flower on it, on the legs, were 3 tefachim. The next 2 tefachim were blank. The next tefach had a cup, a button, and a flower. Next 2 tefachim, blank. The next tefach, a button from which 2 branches came out, one on each side, rising to the height of the menorah of the central lamp. Next tefach, blank. Next tefach had a button from which 2 branches came out again, one on each side, rising to the height of the menorah. Next tefach, blank. The next tefach, again, had a button from which 2 branches came out, one on each side, rising to the height of the menorah. Next 2 tefachim were blank. The remaining 3 tefachim were 3 cups, a button, and a flower. The cups look like cups of Alexandria. The buttons look like small apples. The flowers look like the flowers carved into pillars. Based on this, there were 22 cups, 11 buttons, 9 flowers. The cups are essential to each other. The buttons are essential to each other. The flowers are essential to each other. The cups, buttons, and flowers are also essential to each other. In fact, it makes sense to say that there were 22 cups because the pasuk says that the menorah, meaning the center branch, had 4 cups and that each other branch had 3 cups. It's also correct to say that there were 11 buttons because there were 2 on the center branch, 1 on each of the other 6 branches, and then 1 at the center branch at each point where the side branch was extended from. How do we know there were 9 flowers? The main branch had 2 and each other branch had one, which only makes for a total of eight. So after tomorrow, Rav Salman learns from a pasuk that there was a third one on the main branch right above the base as well. Rav said the menorah was 9 tefachim high. Rav Simon bar Achiya asked him, a braisa says the kohen stood on 3 steps to reach the top of the menorah. It was only 9 tefachim, he didn't need steps. Rav said, I meant that it's 9 tefachim tall from the place of the first branches and higher. That itself was 9 tefachim tall.